Which Denver Broncos players aren't being talked about enough as the Broncos continue organized team activities in Dove Valley? Plus, we answer Broncos Country's Twitter Tuesday questions pertaining to the future of some superstars and George Payton wanting to acquire more draft capital. Could that mean some Broncos players could be traded before the season starts? You get that and much more. Today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back to a brand new episode, Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior Broncos analyst at Mile High Sports, and I'm joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger. He's a site expert over there, predominantlyorange.com. Both of us cover the Broncos for the Locked On Network and Nine News. And Broncos country, thank you for making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day. Free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format and also in video format on youtube.com/Locked On Broncos. Make sure you hit that subscribe or that follow button if you have yet to do so already, so you can receive daily Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage. Today's episode of the show, the Broncos are getting back on the practice field at the UCL Training Center. OTAs continuing under the Russell Wilson era, which has begun, Sarah. And there are a lot of players just going through the couple of weeks that we've had of OTAs. I thought to myself, hey, there's certain players. We've heard a lot about certain players like P.J. Locke, Courtland Sutton, you know, all the star players. But we haven't heard a lot about some of the role players that have been at the practice facility. The talk has been on other players at their positions. So I can't wait to break that all down today.
Exactly. With so much focus on Russell Wilson and what he could do for those star players, I think it's easier for these kind of role players, like you mentioned, it's easier for them to fly under the radar, which we don't have much longer for these guys to fly under the radar. Obviously, OTAs wrapping up, and then with training camp sort of right around the corner, right? We're about 2 months or less away from training camp, which is awesome because that just gets me thinking that, man, we're that much closer to some football, whether it's preseason or not. I love it. I'm excited for it, and I'm looking forward to talking about these players. Look, offensively and defensively, I feel like the Broncos have a really well-rounded roster. It's not just like, okay, you got Russell Wilson and he's going to make all these other guys better. No, it's a really deep roster on both sides of the ball with a lot of guys that can get lost in the shuffle, starting with one guy who I've only heard his name mentioned once this offseason, Cody, by special teams coordinator Dwayne Stukes.
Yeah, that's Tyree Cleveland. You know, surprising enough, last year he was waived at one point off the practice squad by the Broncos, and I think you and I were probably very surprised, probably more surprised than most people were, like, hey, Tyree Cleveland, what? Like, there was all this talk about him being the next potential Tim Patrick in terms of some traits that were very comparable. There is him there. You did mention, obviously, Dwayne Stukes mentioning him, and then Dwayne Stukes the next week said, you know what? I'm no longer going to name names anymore because I realize that everyone is going to take a name that I mentioned and run with it. And rightfully so. That's exactly what we did. We're not the only ones to do just that. But when it talks about the receiver rotation a little bit, Tyree has been one of those names we haven't heard too much from. But surprisingly enough, we've heard a lot of conversation about an offensive player at the tight end position, and it hasn't been Albert Okwuegbunam. We've heard a lot about Greg Dulcich, but we haven't heard much about Albert O, which is very, very weird, Sarah.
It is. You know, you want to hear more about how's his chemistry developing with Russell Wilson. You know, how are they looking out at practice together? Are they looking like they could be, you know, the next Mahomes and Kelsey duo in the AFC West, right? That's what we want to hear, because that's what we want to see this coming season. We love Greg Dulcich, and we would love for him to be the next Travis Kelsey, as I think somebody out there on YouTube who's not a Broncos person dubbed him potentially the next Travis Kelsey. So those comparisons aren't just being floated out there for hyperbole's sake. They're being floated out there by people who are seeing a lot of similar things. So the hype train on Greg Dulcich, which we've called it before, it's running. It's basically a freight train at this point. The Albert O wagon is slowly dragging along, but I feel like come training camp, Cody, I feel like that's going to start chugging along in a really big way, because we know Albert O, he can make some big plays. He's got outstanding speed, really, really good hands. I think that we've seen him have a couple, like we talked about with Jerry Jeudy on yesterday's episode, and we've seen Albert O have a few concentration drops, but I think that that's less of an issue of his hands and his ability to catch stretch, and more of an issue of just the, like we said, concentration, really believing that he's going to be making a play before it's made. So I feel like he's not getting enough publicity, but I actually wrote about a guy on Monday, Cody, that I feel like, man, yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame, so to speak. But,
I know where you're going.
Emergency quarterback Kendall Hinton. He needs some more love this offseason because, man, I did read something recently that he and Russell Wilson, they're getting on the same page, which leads me to believe maybe there's more to Kendall Hinton's story that's yet to be written.
I agree with you on that one, too, because that's exactly where I was going to go. I was going to go with Russell Wilson name dropping Kendall Hinton specifically in various press conferences and interviews in terms of working with him. Could be one of those very under the radar type guys, right? I mean, all of our attention rightfully so is focused on Timmy P, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler. But then it's like Kendall Hinton, In my opinion, I really believe could be that true number five wide receiver, which look, you're going to at least have to have five guys. And that's exactly what Kendall Hinton was able to do last season for the Broncos. He really emerged as a receiver. And granted, he did that with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater and Brett Rippon throwing him the ball. Now he's got Russell Wilson, Josh Johnson. He's also got Brett Rippon throwing him the ball and he's making plays. So he's a name I'm going to keep my eye on. But there's another player that was brought in this offseason, kind of an under the radar move in a sense in terms of what nobody's talking about, because right now he's getting a lot of reps with the offensive line with the first team because Graham Glasgow is not yet ready to compete. Calvin Anderson's got some other stuff going on. I think he's a broken nose, according to our good friend Mario Vitanzi. But there's been some guys that have been unable to participate on the offensive line. Billy Turner still nursing a little bit of an injury as he continues to recover, and that's Ben Braden.
That's right. And injuries or otherwise, he's getting in with that first offense, which, you know, that move really flew under the radar, didn't it? It was made kind of near the beginning of free agency. So like when all the hype is coming up and everybody's looking, refreshing Twitter for Broncos sign, and they don't care who the name is until Ben Braden's name showed up. And then everybody's like, I sat on Twitter all day and waited for the Broncos to sign Ben Braden. But it turns out he may play a bigger role than we think. And I don't know that they necessarily want him to play, Cody, but at the same time, you know, he was playing last year. I remember I was doing a post for Predominantly Orange. I was looking at, hey, who some players of the Broncos could try to snatch off of waivers if, in fact, they get released by their respective teams. Ben Braden was actually one of those guys because he was playing the right tackle position for the Green Bay Packers during last year in the preseason, and he had some really good reps with a breakout rookie that they had, Royce Newman, playing the right guard. They were really doing a great job together in preseason action. This is why you pay attention to the preseason, people, yes, not just for the Denver Broncos, but for other teams, because you never know when a future Bronco is going to pop up on Twitter and clips that people are making. And this one came actually from, I believe it was Brandon Thorne, who was breaking down one of his clips and just talking about a combo block that these two guys put on. Obviously, the Broncos coaching staff thinks very highly of Ben Braden. He's obviously a scheme fit. He knows the offense. Interesting to see him get a look at the right tackle position. Like you mentioned, even with those guys out injured, he's getting some run with the first team offense. Don't sleep on Ben Braden this offseason.
It's going to be very interesting to find out kind of what the rotation will be once we get to training camp, which is just about a month and a half away. We're very excited. We'll be there up close and personal covering everything. Until then, we have you covered every single day all year long for all things here Locked On Broncos. We'll get to the defensive players that aren't being talked about enough so far throughout OTAs coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about rockauto.com, the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. And if you need anything for your vehicle, rockauto.com, they have everything for your vehicle, everything that you could be looking for, whether it's brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, or even brand new carpet for your vehicle. And the one thing I love about rockauto.com is that the prices are always reliably low. Whether you're a professional or whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, you no longer have to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for parts at a local chain auto parts store or a car dealership when you can get them cheaper delivered directly to your doorstep with rockauto.com. You have access to computers at home or in your pocket that can take you there, and you can quickly browse all the parts available. You can look on year, make, model, brand, specifications, and even the prices that you prefer for your vehicle here today delivered directly to your doorstep. So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On Broncos in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As we jump into the second half action on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, real quick, Broncos Country Mile High salute. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen or to watch Sarah Bettinger and myself break down all things Denver Broncos related here on the Locked On Broncos podcast, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts, also here on YouTube. It means the world to us. If you're a brand new viewer or listener, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on a day's worth of Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage. Sarah, let's continue our conversation here today as OTAs continue in Dove Valley. We'll hear a little bit later on today from Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett. We'll hear from various players, and then they'll also have another practice tomorrow. We'll hear from various players as well. A lot of storylines that we'll be following. But let's talk about maybe some defensive players that haven't been discussed enough or talked about enough by other media members, or even just in general, the coverage of the Broncos and OTAs. And I think that there's one really big one here. Now, there's a player that you know I'm a huge fan of, and PJ Locke has been discussed. And I love to see that because there is a realm of possibility he could be the third safety. He could be safety three behind Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson. But I think the bigger question here, Sarah, how come we haven't heard as much about Caden Stearns this offseason for Denver? That to me has been a little bit of a surprise.
I know, and it's something that it's kind of like, I don't really want to not hear a lot about Caden Stearns. I want to hear more about Caden Stearns. I want the Caden Stearns hype to be going off the rails at this point, because we know he's one of the most athletically gifted players from that great 2021 NFL draft class. And I think when you look back at what he was able to do last season, really coming in as a dime defensive back, showing what he can do in the blitzing department in terms of taking the ball away at the end of games. I mean, he was around the ball a lot, whether it was picking off passes or whether it was getting to the quarterback. And I just want to see more of him. I want to see more of him out there. I'm interested to find out what the Broncos' plans are, because I know there's been some low-key talk, not necessarily from the Broncos side, Cody, but from other people on Twitter, like maybe some cornerback reps for Caden Stearns, which I would be all for. And I'm not necessarily saying he needs to make a position switch, but look, I think keep things fluid in that defensive backfield and kind of see what happens, because he's got the versatility already to be able to play that deep safety. He can come in and he can blitz. He can play inside. He can do all those different things. Use that athleticism to your advantage, but he's certainly not the only ultra impressive athlete from that 2021 NFL draft class that we're just not hearing enough of so far this offseason.
Well, and that goes exactly to like Baron Browning being the next player. And what I mean by that is, you know, while the Broncos have been on the practice field at OTAs, we haven't heard much about, okay, hey, Baron Browning's working in at the edge rusher position. Oh, he's switching now to inside linebacker. He's playing both the will and the edge here. We haven't heard much discussion on that. As Jiro Evero said, hey, he's doing a really good job. He's got to, you know, continue to improve against coming up against the run, setting the edge a little bit, but it'll come in time. That's about the only thing that we have heard of Baron Browning in his transition right now to edge rusher. And I think that there are a lot of Broncos fans that really want to know, hey, is he actually making that transition full time, or is he playing a little bit of both? I personally have been told one of the things is that he's playing both this season. He'll be playing the wheel backer in certain situations. He'll be playing edge. And it doesn't make sense there. And I know you and I have had this conversation. It doesn't make sense for the Broncos to just fully move him to the edge rusher position unless they have plans to offset a couple of their guys, because right now you still have Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory. You just drafted Nick Benito. You also have Malik Reed. You have Jonathan Cooper here. You have a very loaded edge rusher room right now. When we talk about guys that we feel like can contribute and have a significant impact in whatever role they play on the Broncos defense, and all of a sudden you throw Baron Browning in there, it just kind of sounds a little puzzling at this point. But we haven't heard much about him. We haven't heard his name called on as much. There is that, Sarah. But there's also a guy on the defensive line that we haven't heard talked about enough this offseason, considering the Broncos are approaching a new era, obviously, with a new defensive line coach, and you still have Bill Kolar as a senior defensive assistant.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mike Purcell not getting talked about a ton. I remember back in the 2019 season, you know, there was the whole Vic Fangio had a hand in, you know, John Elway asking him, like, what do you think of this guy? And he's like, you better not bring him in for a workout, because you're going to absolutely love him. And it turned turned into a great success story. Like Mike Purcell had an incredible year back in 2019. And then it's just the last couple of seasons, it feels like availability for him has been a bit sparse. And so I think if you have a run stuffing nose tackle like that, you've got to have a guy that can come off the blocks and make those TFLs like we saw back in 2019. The production just hasn't been there by comparison these last couple seasons. So is it an issue where the Broncos really love their young guys on the defensive line? Or is it an issue where, hey, Mike Purcell is just kind of business as usual? There's nothing really to report here. He's going to continue to play his, you know, two down role, like maybe 35 to 40% of the defensive snaps this year as the Broncos play a ton of nickel and dime. Is it just status quo? Are we shaping up for him to be a potential, you know, salary cap cut at some point? I think every option right now is on the table, from him being a starter in the defense to being a role player to being a trade candidate to being a cut candidate. I think every option is on the table for Mike Purcell right now. It just feels that way to me, at least, Cody. So I know that he hasn't been talked about a lot, but I don't necessarily find that to be a good thing for him. But we'll find out as training camp progresses and as things go along. We see, hey, Mike Purcell's been out there with the ones all camp, or yeah, maybe they start to get other guys in the ones, and that kind of, you know, turns that rumor mill a little bit more. But obviously, I think that one guy that we want to see with the ones a little bit more is a guy that, man, he's near and dear to my heart, Cody. So I know you love this guy. So I want to know, yeah, why are people not talking about Michael Ojemudia?
Yeah, no, spot on. I can't wait to talk about Mike real quick. One thing to add to Purcell, I think the biggest issue has been health, right? The last couple of years, I mean, he dealt with a very freak kind of injury. Obviously, a Lisfranc injury with his foot was a huge one. Then he had the broken thumb, which obviously impacts a lot of what he wants to do as an interior run stopper. But I will tell you this. I will take Mike Purcell 10 times out of 10 on this defensive line alongside DJ Jones, more so than anybody else at this point. When fully healthy, I think Mike Purcell against the run is a force here for the Broncos when fully healthy, and the hope is that he can stay the way. But you make a lot of great points. This is a brand new coaching staff. This isn't the Vic Fangio staff anymore, so he's going to have a lot to prove, I think, in the eyes of the coaches here this offseason. But going to your point on Michael Ojemudia, I mean, we haven't heard him talked about enough, especially after the Broncos decided to draft Damari Mathis, bringing in Fion Hicks. And once again, I'll make the same point here about OJ. I loved his final game last season against the Chiefs. Now, obviously, he suffered that very, very scary injury in the preseason against Seattle, held him out all the way throughout the season until the second to last game against the Los Angeles Chargers, and then the home finale against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he balled out 11 tackles, 4 passes defensed. Now, one could have had a couple of interceptions there, but he showcased why I think he should be on this roster. But the Broncos drafting other cornerbacks definitely gives me a little bit of concern. OJ gets slept on a lot, Sarah, and I, you know, that's my worry here for him going forward, is that he's slept on a lot by Broncos fans. Nobody's talking about him enough. So the only way to change that is going in the preseason, making some plays.
That's right. And I think that that's exactly what he's going to do. You just need a fully healthy, you know, season from him, right? That's I think all he needs. And it's easy to forget, because he did start his entire rookie season, that this is only his third year in the NFL. I mean, it feels like, because he was out for so long last year, it kind of feels like he's been around for longer. And maybe that's just the pandemic year made time slow down for a while there. But I think definitely it's not necessarily a make or break year for him. I think he's a valuable asset to the Denver Broncos. I think he's somebody that they need to continue to pour into. Let Ejiro Evero and that defensive back staff, Christian Parker, let those guys pour into Michael Ojemudia, because he's got the physical talent, he's got the athleticism, and obviously he's got the toughness. That's one of the things I think you look for the most from these defensive backs. Can you come up and make a hit? Can you come up and be physical? Because remember his rookie season, we saw a couple of times where he dropped some interceptions. Then there was other moments where he went in and he jarred the ball loose with some big time hits. So the highlight reel on Ojemudia is nice. The low light reel, we remember the Chase Claypool push off that resulted in a touchdown. We remember the touchdowns that he gave up his rookie year. Rookies should be expected to do those kind of things at times. But I think OJ, he is getting slept on. I feel like maybe, and the wheels are in motion right now, Cody, so I'm just thinking out loud here. Is he the eventual replacement for Ronald Darby if you have to clear some cap space next offseason? Getting way ahead of myself there, almost a year out. But you just think in terms of roster building, I feel like Ojemudia has a chance to really prove himself this season to a new staff.
I'm glad you brought that point up because I don't think many people actually think about that. They're like, oh, you know, they have Ronald Darby, they have Patrick Surtain. Well, you know, one of these guys is going to be the odd man out, but that's a great point. This could be a great step in type of role here for Michael Ojemudia if, in fact, the Broncos do want to move on from Ronald Darby after this year or even after next year, finding a way to maximize what you have with a guy that's been on your roster and has been developing. I mean, I'd say that's the thing about OJ. He has been developing and he still has some ample time left in his deal with the Denver Broncos. Big time thing here for Michael Ojemudia. We're very excited about that. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to answer some of your Broncos Country Twitter Tuesday questions as sent in. You're going to get some responses from us all throughout the week here on this week's Locked On Broncos. Monday through Friday, we have you covered here. But before we do that, let me tell you to check out the Locked On Avalanche podcast as the Avs hosted the Edmonton Oilers for game one. Did the Avs come out on top with a 1-0 start, or did they start the series 0-1? Check out the Locked On Avalanche podcast hosted by Chris Maselli and Kyle Sullivan. Free and available everywhere you get your podcasts. As we jump into the fourth quarter action on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, real quick, Broncos Country, thank you so much for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen today. For your second listen after this show here today, go check out the Lockdown Sports Today podcast for the wide scope of all professional sports here covered by Peter Bukowski, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. Sarah, let's go through and answer a question. There's one I wanted to answer, realistically speaking. We'll have some responses to Broncos Country all throughout the week because, hey, there are some great questions that actually spawn some really good show topic ideas that we'll touch on. For today's show, I want to address something that Caden Stump had sent us on Twitter. And he sent us a question saying, hey, what should be the realistic expectation of the Broncos this season? Some people believe that they'll be 14-3. Some say they'll be 8-9. I want to believe that the Broncos will make the playoffs and win a home game. And Sarah, I think this is always hard at this point of the offseason to really kind of come in and maybe project, right? But what could be a realistic expectation here for this Broncos team? And I think if we look at it from a roster standpoint, if the stars align, right? And yesterday's episode, you made a great point about really last season for the Broncos offensively, it almost seemed like the stars needed to align for them to perform well and be competitive. For a team standpoint, what would it be like? Would it be a realistic expectation for the stars to align for this team here to be competitive, to make the playoffs, and to potentially win a playoff game?
Well, I guess this question doesn't leave me any room to say 17-0 until we ain't, Cody. I mean, I guess that's not realistic.
That's still true.
Yeah, it's among the possibilities at this point. The realistic possibility is likely somewhere in the middle of the extreme, like, you know, 14-3, which would be very hard, very difficult in this kind of NFL. I mean, just the way things are. I mean, I feel like if you win 11 games, if you win 12 games, I mean, that's like almost like a Herculean regular season, basically, because to win 12 games in the AFC as it is currently, just you know, with the quarterbacks and the tremendous defensive talent that's all over this conference, I just feel like 12 regular season wins would be an amazing accomplishment. So my hope, and I think realism is it varies for everybody, doesn't it, Cody? I think it's always funny when somebody's like, well, I'm more of a realist, there's what I think this year, and then all of a sudden their expectations are blown away because, you know, the Broncos are way better than they thought they would be. So to me, realistic is definitely in the 11 win range. I feel like that's within grasp. I mean, that would be projecting. We're not just talking about 11 wins. We're talking also about then six losses. And how are you going to lose six games with this roster as currently constructed? I feel like that's almost harder to predict than 11 wins. But I feel like the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, you talk about being 8-9 or 9-8. I don't think that's, I think that's unrealistic. I would be very disappointed if that happened. But to me, if you're talking about 11, 12 wins, maybe even 10 on the, you know, somewhere between 10 and 12, Cody, to me, is where I fall with this team and where they're at in the schedule. We've broken down every single game on the schedule. We've broken down the bye week placement and the international game and the impact that could have and all these different things. So I think that's within the realm of realism. So I do like that question. And I think that it's always fun. You know, I'm going to go into every week thinking, hey, this is how the Broncos are going to win.
Absolutely.
This week. league. So that's how I go in and approach it. But I think realistically, you know, somewhere between 10 to 12 wins this season. And I think the Broncos are going to need a couple of guys to be healthy for that to happen. Like we talked about, I mean, the stars do have to align. You got to get lucky in the injury department. So a question from our good friend Darius: will Randy Gregory and KJ Hamler be ready for training camp and or week one of the season? I think that's a question as you get around the facility more and more, Cody, we're going to find those answers.
Well, and I think for Randy Gregory, there is so much unknown right now because there really hasn't been a timetable that's been issued for Randy Gregory. We do know that he is expected to be ready for the start of the regular season, which is great. So more than likely, that means he'll probably miss some time in training camp or he'll be limited. For KJ Hamler, I'd say for like the amount of stuff that he's been able to do now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's ready to go for the start of training camp at the end of July. However, I also would not be surprised that the Broncos say, okay, hey, because training camp is what it is, there's also some new modifications coming from the CBA. They'll reduce the amount of time they have to be on the field. I think that the Broncos will start off training camp by reducing how much KJ Hamler's doing, which is a good thing, right? We saw that last year with Cortland Sutton coming off of the ACL. They reduced him at first. They eased him back in. You don't want to just give him a full workload right away coming off of an injury of that nature there. So I do expect that even though that I think KJ Hamler's ready to go right now and can do a lot of great things, I personally do believe that they'll probably ease him in. There may be a day we see him practice. There may be the next day we don't see him practice. He may get kind of that vet treatment in a sense, even though he's not a veteran, but he'll get that rest day for his knee for some, you know, what do they call it in the NBA? I forgot, load management. That's what it is. So I think we'll see some load management happening here in training camp for not just KJ Hamler, but for various Denver Broncos players as well. But with that said, Broncos country, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, free and available everywhere you get your podcast and audio format. Also, if you're watching us on YouTube, we appreciate you so much. Take your time out of your day to listen to us talk all things Denver Broncos. We appreciate you so much. Broncos country, we want you to get involved in the conversation on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Lockdown Broncos, or on YouTube in the comment section. Make sure you interact with us as well. We appreciate it, and we look forward to responding to everybody as much as we can. Tomorrow's episode of the show, we're going to highlight anything that Nathaniel Hackett had to say today at OTAs. What are some of the storylines in Dove Valley this week as OTAs continues? The Broncos prepare for mandatory minicamp coming up here in just about a week, week and a half, and then they'll be off before training camp. You get that much more all on Lockdown Broncos throughout this entire week here on the show.